From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 110 of Little Brother for the 3rd of December, 2022. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com, or you can post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. There has long been talk about banning the purchase of infrastructure equipment from Chinese manufacturers Huawei and ZTE out of a concern for national security. As such, it probably feels like a bit of deja vu for me to say that these bans are now in place. Late last week, the Federal Communications Commission introduced rules to make it formal, specifically banning equipment that is, quote, deemed to pose an unacceptable risk to national security from being authorized for importation or sale in the U.S., end quote. In addition to ZTE and Huawei, the ban affects equipment manufactured by Hytera Communications, Hangzhou Hikvision Digital Technology, and Dahua Technology. Under the command of new owner Elon Musk, Twitter has ended its COVID-19 misinformation policy, or at the very least, stopped enforcing it. Musk has described the COVID lockdowns as, quote, forcibly imprisoning people in their homes against their constitutional rights and breaking people's freedoms in ways that are horrible and wrong and not why people came to America or built this country, end quote. In a way, this is kind of the expected view of someone in his position, as COVID was bad for business. As to the lifted rule, one Reddit user neatly put it this way, COVID paid $8 for a blue checkmark. Eufy is a brand of digital security cameras made by Anker, a company best known for their phone accessories, especially those related to power and charging. Eufy digital security cameras stood out from a lot of products in that you supposedly didn't need to create any kind of cloud account or use any cloud storage that could suddenly disappear or get pwned in order to use their products. So much for that. Security researcher Paul Moore has discovered that Eufy cameras were not only using cloud services, but that they were uploading unencrypted footage. The findings were corroborated by other security researchers. As the ground war between Ukraine and Russia rages on, so too does a parallel cyber war. The latest volley has been the appearance of a malware that has been dubbed CryWiper, which poses as a ransomware, but does not actually encrypt the data that it has allegedly been ransomed. Nope, it destroys it. The gang behind the package has not been identified, but they appear to be targeting their attacks on Russian government entities, mostly hitting the courts and city governments. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Well, here we are again. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned This Week. We've got three items up this week. First up, there's Meta. Finding Meta seems to be the latest trendy thing for governments to do. 5 weeks ago, it was the state of Washington finding them. See episode 107, and this week, it's the Republic of Ireland. Ireland is fining Meta 265 million euro, or approximately 269 million US dollars, for violation of the privacy of Irish citizens. The violation stems from a data leak in which the personal information of 533 million users was exposed. Next up is Twitter. Security researcher Chad Loader of security firm Habituate took to Twitter on November 23rd to warn users that a data breach had occurred at Twitter, affecting millions of users across the US and the European Union. Predictably, Twitter responded by suspending his account. But possibly the most dangerous is LastPass. LastPass is a cloud-based password manager. If you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you already know how I feel about that idea. You may also be feeling a sense of déjà vu. Why is that, do you think? Well, as it turns out, LastPass were last pwned in August, as I reported in the Pwn of the Week for episode 101. And it appears that some of the data that leached out at that time was used to repeat the feat. So, even though I was fairly kind to LastPass last time, giving them kudos for their speedy recovery from the pwn, I'm also going to give the same advice now that I gave then. If you use LastPass, you might want to go through all of your passwords and change them. Again. And then maybe move to an offline password manager. Thus far, you have already heard me use the phrase déjà vu twice in this episode, and it kind of applies here too. In 1849, a French novelist, journalist, and critic by the name of Jean-Baptiste Alphonse Kerr, penned some words that would become a very common saying. He wrote, "Plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose," which has been rendered into English as "the more things change, the more they stay the same." I bring that up over a century and a half later because a couple of battles that the cyber citizenry have been fighting since at least the 1990s have yet again reared their ugly heads. Right now, two bills are working their way through Congress that threaten our digital way of life. The first bill is the so-called Smart Copyright Act. In the usual congressional manner, SMART is an acronym, this one standing for Strengthening Measures to Advance Rights Technologies. Why is it called that? Because somebody wanted it to spell SMART. Sounds like a bit of word salad, but what they're talking about is adding teeth to technologies that have come to be known as digital rights management, or digital restrictions management. These are technologies whose role is to prevent you from copying or otherwise using content in any way except those which have been prescribed and authorized by the content provider. The second bill is the Kids Online Safety Act, which thankfully has no cute acronym in it, and aims to hold social media accountable for harm to children in the absence of a broader U.S. privacy law. I'm lumping these two bills together because at the heart of both of them you will find the same fundamental idea. That idea is that the content of communications should be examined for whichever variety of violation that the bill pertains to. The fundamental problem that I have here is this. In order to filter the content in the way that either one of these requires, you have to have access to the content. You have to scan it, looking for the violations, so you need to be able to see it. This, out of necessity, kills the ability to apply any kind of robust privacy measures to your communications. If a filter server somewhere between you and the person you're communicating with can look at your messages, well, they're not private now, are they? On top of that, the fundamental technology required to implement both of these bills is the same. Put something into the network that looks for patterns. As I've said before, I have a problem with pattern searches that I can't opt out of. Which is this. Today, the pattern search might be looking for copyright infringement and kiddie porn. Tomorrow, they may be looking for insurrectionists. The day after that, they might be looking for demonstrators. Next, it's any kind of dissident. Anybody happen to stop and notice, by the way, that this country was founded on dissidents? Don't think it can happen here? Go back to episode 90, and you'll hear me talking about my concern that the various states would turn to the surveillance system to track women seeking abortions in other states. Oh, look! It happened. So who's next? Maybe one of these days, it's you. No, I oppose both of these bills. Interestingly enough, a coalition of over 90 organizations have come out against the Kids Online Safety Act. Who are they? Well, some of the obvious ones are the ACLU and the Electronic Frontier Foundation, but also a number of groups representing the LGBTQTA plus community, organizations that advocate for privacy, etc. These organizations have two arguments besides the one I made, which I would like to highlight. First and most obvious, surveillance makes it easier to spot the members of the queer community. These folks already suffer enough bigotry without enabling their detractors. It incentivizes and it enables increased data collection against the clearly expressed will of those surveilled. And some people have got secrets that they need to be able to keep. Second, again in the category of secrets that need to be kept, if a minor finds themselves in danger from abusive adults in their household, this puts surveillance right in the hands of the abusers, stomping out what may well be the only available channel for safe communications. Since both of these bills are about filtering content and therefore cracking open the encryption, both of them pose the same danger. Both of them must die. Again. Last week, I had a headline about the city of San Francisco considering the idea of allowing police robots to be armed. This week, I am sad to report that the city council voted 8-3 to allow this. This disturbs me greatly because a big part of the problem with law enforcement in this country right now is an us-and-them attitude. It is a failure of the two parts of that us-and-them to connect with each other and to realize that they have more in common with each other than with those who lead us. Makes me very sad and very angry, obviously, at the same time. When you switch from having a cop in the street with a gun dispensing lethal force to having the cop sitting at a terminal, safely away from the action, dispensing lethal force by remote control, it further dehumanizes the relationship in a circumstance where humanizing is so desperately needed. Essentially, from the perspective of operating the robot, this is little different than playing a video game. As much as I love technology, law enforcement requires a human touch, one that was already in short supply, and this will only make the problem worse. Many of us in the hacker and freaker community of Generation X or older have been saddened by the disappearance of payphones from our streets and other public spaces. Before cell phones became ubiquitous in the aughties, payphones were key to keeping in touch when you were out and about. For the price of 25 cents, you could make a phone call to someone nearby. There were also some simple tricks that you could use to make the phone call slightly less costly, but I don't know anything about now, do I? No, I have no idea how that might work. However, they've largely become unviable as a commercial venture. There isn't money to be made on them anymore because enough of the population is carrying a cell phone in their pocket with which they can make a phone call that costs them nothing aside from the subscription that they're already paying. The additional cost of a phone call is nothing. Or if you prefer, as many people do these days, you can just send a text message, which payphones never could do. But they were so handy. Wouldn't it be great if they could be redeployed as a public service? Guess what's happening in Philadelphia? As it happens, an amateur phone collective, calling itself PhilTel, have stood up a telephone network and are providing free telephone service by way of what look like payphones across the city, which are actually voice over IP phones connecting to an Asterix server run by PhilTel, which then connects them to the real-world telephone network. The main difference between these and the payphones of the past is you don't need to carry any quarters. Other than that, they work the same way as phones of the analog era. Welcome back, old friend. Can we learn from the mistakes of others? Of course we can. We can even learn from the mistakes of those that we find disagreeable. Please keep that in mind as I go through this piece. I've spoken about geofencing and geofence warrants before, in episodes 48, 72, and 102. Geofencing is where a data broker or some other party that has access to a pool of data that includes location, such as a cell provider or an app maker, draws a boundary on a map and uses that to select data from that body of data. In the case of a geofence warrant, it's a warrant served on a data broker or so that asks them to geofence a given area and report back what they've got. It should surprise nobody that a geofence warrant was key to figuring out who all was involved in the insurrection that took place in D.C. on January 6th of last year. I don't want to get into the politics of this. My word choice in that last sentence should tell you where I stand. But what I think we should be focused on as individuals is this. What can we learn from them? The answer is that we can reinforce the things I mentioned in episode 90 about going to protests and demonstrations. So let's go to the tape, shall we? You can bring your phone if you want, but turn off biometrics and location services. If you can, bring a burner phone instead, just like if you were surreptitiously traveling. You want biometrics off because while you can't be legally compelled to give up the password or PIN, you can, plead the fifth or conveniently become amnesic, you can be compelled to unlock a phone with a fingerprint or face recognition, so just don't use those. Location services? That should be obvious. As I've said from time to time, you need to think of that device in your pocket as Big Brother's little snitch. Personally, I'd rather be the one snitching on Big Brother. TikTok, for all of its ability to drive engagement, is not without a few problems. Today, I'm going to talk about one that's slightly different from the usual garden variety because you can't actually pin this one on the platform so much as what the users are doing with it and how that gets exploited. The hazard here comes from one of the latest challenges. TikTok has a filter called Invisible Body, which removes your body from the video and replaces it with a blurred background. So, what are people using this to do? They are dancing naked in front of the camera and using invisible body to do it without being seen. Okay, I kind of get it. Just, you know, hope that filter doesn't make a mistake. Other than that, it's just a dare, right? Should be pretty harmless. Of course, the problem with this is that there are people who will still want to get the unfiltered video. Let's start with a simple understanding. Filters are applied by your device. The unfiltered video never leaves your device. Unfiltering the video isn't possible. There's no reason for the unfiltered video to go anywhere. It's well within the compute capabilities of a telephone, and there's no need to send the unfiltered video to the cloud. As proof of this, the video that you see on your screen when shooting the video, it has no lag, right? If it went to the cloud and back, there would be lag. So there it is. The unfiltered content just flat out isn't there to reveal. Good so far? Okay. Now, as I said, there are people who will want to get the unfiltered video. There's nothing there for them to get, but they clearly don't know that. They go digging for a way to do this, and lo and behold, there's an app for that. Except that there isn't. The software is fake. What it actually does is install a malware called Wasp Stealer, which will swipe your credentials to Discord, any credit cards stored on your device, any cryptocurrency wallets it finds, and may also steal some other interesting files. Long story short, too late, I know, but in a nutshell, don't trust software that comes from a sketchy source. And if you want nudes, go get them from somebody who's willing. As usual, we'll end this week's episode with the fail of the week. This week's award goes to the University of Maine at Augusta. An error in the configuration of the university's learning management system inadvertently granted administrative access to students, enabling them, amongst other things, to alter grades. According to the university's count, 242 students logged into the system during this time that the capability existed. A small number of them took advantage of the opening. Now, as it turns out, the university has been able to track down the alterations and back them out, and the university claims that the official grades were not accessible as they reside on another system. The cause of the fail was investigated, and as one would expect, it was a misconfiguration that happened while tuning the integration between this system and another one. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fongaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Fongaboo, Julie Bernstein, Joe Cadillac, and Azriel for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pump music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our Fail of the Week music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker, and our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast, or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com, or post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well. specifically banning communications that is... Nope, hold on. The ban affects equipment manufactured by Hetera Communications, Hangzhou Hikvision, yep. Damn it. Security researcher Chad Loader of security firm Habituate took to Twitter. Where have I heard that recently? These are technologies whose role, which aims to hold social media accountable. Let's start that sentence over. This, out of necessity, I'm going to start that paragraph again. Tomorrow, they may be looking for insurrectionists. The day after that, they may be... That the city council voted a failure of the two parts of... It is a... I need an adjective there. What it actually does is install a malware called WASP. Damn it. Okay, let's start that article entirely over.